Well, we had a great service last night. The church was full, and some of you came back again this morning. And so I was wondering, honestly, why'd you come back? It's icy outside. It's kind of cold. And we did a great worship service, so you came back. You're here. I think I kind of know the reason why you came back, why you're here. But, we came to worship Jesus, didn't we? We came to celebrate his birth. It's Christmas. It's actually Christmas Day today, and it seems right to do this. But, we might ask, why does it seem right to be here? Why is it right to worship Jesus today? Well, we're still celebrating the birth of Jesus this morning, but in this scripture that we read, the Gospel of Matthew, it's the time after Jesus' birth. And some scholars actually talk about this time being up to about 2 years later. And so we often remember or celebrate this scene, with the Magi coming to the manger. But most likely, he wasn't in the manger at the time they came to visit. But they did come seeking this child, young child, to be worshipped as the king. So in this story, Jesus receives some strange and unexpected visitors. They come, like we have today, to worship Jesus. The questions that they ask as they come to this place in Jerusalem from the east, probably somewhere in Samaria or Babylon, it's telling about their journey. They're searching for a king, and they've come to Israel to find the king of the Jews. And we might wonder, why are they coming? Have you ever been searching for something and can't find it? Any possibility of that? Am I the only one? No? Okay. And so when you're searching and you can't find it, and there may be some clues around, but you just can't seem to get them, do you ask anybody where that might be? Anybody ever ask? Yeah, okay. Yeah, sometimes, right? So the Magi, they came to Jerusalem, and the star had led them that far, the major city of Israel. They thought, well, this might be the place, but they didn't find him. And so they asked the religious scholars and the leaders of the Jews. And their question is this: where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Instead of the king they're searching for, they find the king on the throne in Jerusalem. But this king on the throne, Herod, he's a usurper to the throne. This isn't God's an appointed king or appointed ruler of his people. And the response of these Magi who come in search of the king born, the response of Herod is that he is disturbed. The scripture says he's disturbed, and all of Jerusalem is disturbed with him. So why does the birth of Jesus bring this kind of response? Sometimes when I'm going around the house, it seems like I'm just not necessarily paying attention. Sometimes Cheryl gets to point that out to me, and it's kind of like, she's saying, I'm looking for something. She says, well, it's right there. And I said, well, no, it's not. I already looked there. And she'll go back there, and she'll find it, of course, right? And I'll say, well, where was it? Well, it was sitting right there. And I think, wow, what is wrong with me? Why can't I find what they're looking for? In Jerusalem, that the response of Cheryl to my searching like that is kind of disturbing to her. And so it's like, what is wrong with him? So the Magi, they come to Jerusalem, and they begin to search. And the response of Herod and all of Jerusalem is that they are disturbed. And the reason that Herod is disturbed is simply this, that he doesn't want anybody in Israel, anybody anywhere, to usurp his throne. He wants to remain the king on the throne, and anyone who threatens that reign is treated brutally. In fact, Herod kills his own sons because he sees them as a threat to his reign. And so this idea of a coming Messiah, a coming king, coming to rule, he wants to deal with this threat powerfully and quickly. But what about all the people in Jerusalem? Why are they disturbed? Well, when the king is disturbed, the country is disturbed. You know, they realize that any threat to the king means bloodshed and possibly disturbance and likely war. And so the people are disturbed along with the king. So into this scene come the Magi, the wise men they're called, or the kings. So who are they? Well, they really are very unlikely worshipers for a Jewish king. You know, what makes a true worshiper of Jesus? Well, I don't know. The Magi at best are astrologers. The history talks about them possibly as religious scholars or priests from Eastern religions. And the Jews really are told to have nothing to do with this kind of magic arts or astrology. You know, the Old Testament speaks about to the Jewish people, stay away from this kind of stuff. You know, this is the realm of God, and you really aren't to have anything to do with these kinds of practices. And yet, these are the ones who are coming in search of this Jewish Messiah. So why do the Magi come? Why do they look? Because they saw his star rising in the east, the Bible says, right? And so for them, these astrologists, they're always searching the skies and looking for signs, and they see the sign in the skies, and they search and recognize that this is a sign of the birth of a king, a special king, a unique king, the coming king and Messiah. And so they go and search for them. So why is this so disturbing to Herod? Well, there's a deeper question to ask. If these, you know, pagan, non-Jewish magi or magicians are coming and searching for the king, then why is it that no one in all of Jerusalem is searching for their king? Why is it that those to whom this Messiah and Savior has come, those people aren't even interested in finding out where this baby is? You know, this is a little time after his birth, and it seems that no one else is searching. They aren't looking for their king, only these foreign priests and astrologers. But now Herod joins in the search, but for a different reason. You know, Herod wants to find him and eliminate him. He wants to kill him. And so he is now in search for the king as well. So Herod goes to the religious scholars, and they have no trouble pointing out to Herod where this coming king is to reign or to be. They say, the prophet's written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So the scholars know where the king is to be born. But why aren't they searching? Why haven't they sent someone to find him? Why aren't they celebrating that this Messiah has come? Why aren't they seeking him and worshiping him? Again, only the foreign scholars and the murderous king are seeking him. So why are we here today? What are you searching for? Why do we seek the king of the Jews? Well, the Bible, we go back to the story, and the Magi set out once more for the star, and it leads them to where Jesus is, the house where he is. The Bible records their response when they find what they're searching for. And the first response is they are overjoyed to find the star again that leads them to Jesus. You know, this is an interesting expression in the scripture. I kind of looked it up and what it refers to, and it kind of talks about exceeding and abundant joy, kind of overflowing joy. The words really say it's the most incredible joy anyone could ever experience. And that's what their response is when they find this child, this king of the Jews. When is the last time you've experienced being overjoyed like these Magi? Just more joy than you can even imagine or express. You know, I think about the birth of our kids. You know, it's just an amazing moment in that awe and joy, and it's like it all just overwhelms, and, you know, just, it's awesome. It's incredible. And if any of you have had a child, you kind of know that experience of awe and wonder and joy all mixed up together. You know, I think about the time that Cheryl said yes to me when I was proposing. It was a mixture of relief and joy. I was really glad that she didn't say, "No, But instead, she responded with yes. And it was like, oh, amazing, wonderful. That's incredible. I am so filled with joy. That expression overflowing. And then I think about sometimes in worship and being caught up in the joy of praising God. And just from deep within, it's as if the Spirit of God is at work within us. And that joy just begins to well up. And I'm overcome with gratitude and wonder and awe in the presence of God. That's what the kings experienced when they came to Jesus. And they saw him and they found him. Their joy welled over. They had found what they were searching for. When the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed. The second response to finding what they were searching for was to bow down and to worship him. You know, in the culture of the Near East at the time, you know, when you were in the presence of royalty, in presence of the king, the ruler, you were bowed down to the ground, probably laying face down, flat out. It was a sign of submission and respect, an acknowledgement that this person is ruler, ruler over you and ruler over all, and he is worthy of respect. So to worship would be to fall on your face before the king. So to worship him, in a sense, to worship Jesus, is to acknowledge his rightful rule, and in this sense, likely his deity, that he's a king, yes, but more importantly, he's divinely appointed he's established as the ruler from heavens, appointed to rule over the people of God. You know, we don't generally come in that position to worship on Sunday. You know, we don't come and lay down on the floor before, you know, the sanctuary and to worship the Lord. But we do it in different ways, don't we, when we worship? We come with hearts submitted to Jesus, ready to offer our lives to him. You know, when we sing songs and hymns and praises, you know, and spiritual psalms, it's an act of worship. It's an act of bowing before the Lord. You know, we're not just singing, but when we come to obey Jesus in every aspect of our lives, it is an act of worship. It's not just right here, but, you know, the Lord is with us. We are worshiping him every moment that we seek to obey him. And when he becomes our priority in our lives, we worship Jesus when we seek to do justice and love mercy and walk compassionately in the world, loving God and loving others. And we worship him when we proclaim him, when we proclaim that he is Messiah, that he is Lord, that he is Savior. The scripture says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And their third response to finding what they were seeking was to open their treasures and present them. So the Magi brought these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, they were very expensive gifts. You know, gold and frankincense is, my understanding, like a gum from a bark of a tree, and it's pretty rare. And myrrh is an anointing oil or spice that is used. And very expensive gifts. Maybe they had the means to offer these gifts. Maybe they were very wealthy magi or kings. Maybe not. But these are the gifts they have. And when they found the king, they laid them down at his feet and they offered them. You know, I have to admit that I did not bring any gold to worship today. In fact, I don't have any gold except for this, and I'm going to keep it. But what do we have to offer? Maybe we don't have expensive gifts or expensive treasures, but maybe we do. It seems that significant that what they brought, they offered. They opened their gifts, it says, to offer them. You know, when we recognize that everything we are, everything we have is a gift from God and a gift to give back to Jesus. You know, my money, sure. My gifts and talents that God has given, sure. My time? Absolutely. What about offering our very lives to our Lord Jesus and his purpose? You know, what greater gift can you and I give? The scripture says, you know, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Here I am, Jesus, your servant. I bow down and offer myself to you. for your purpose, for your will, for your glory. What a precious gift we can give. When the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi show us something very unique about why we are here today, about what it means to seek Jesus and to worship him. And what they show us is that if we're not searching for him, we just very well might miss him. There's a study called Selective Attention Test. I thought this was very interesting. It referred to, another name for it is called the Invisible Gorilla Test. Have you ever heard of that? The Invisible Gorilla Test. It's a test done by Harvard University, and psychologists, they use this video to video three people with white shirts and three people with black shirts who are playing basketball. And they ask someone to watch how many times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball back and forth. And so they begin, and there's this mayhem that goes on, and the basketball's going all over back and forth. And in the smack dab middle of all this going on, a gorilla walks in, thumps his chest, and then walks off. And so as people watch this video, they're asked to count how many times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball. And of all the people who are, you know, counting these passes, can you guess how many actually see the gorilla? Only about half. Only about half the people actually see the gorilla who walks through the video, goes like this, and walks out. And so that's the name of the test, the gorilla test. Because they don't see the gorilla. You know why? What? They're busy counting. Yeah, they weren't looking for him, right? Amazing. I'm sure if I watched that video, I'd absolutely miss it. Knowing me, Cheryl's like, yep, absolutely. You know, what gorilla? So if we're here today, we're very likely looking for Jesus, aren't we? And if you don't know him yet today, if you're seeking but you have not yet experienced him, then I simply invite you to invite him into your heart, into your life. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask and it will be given to you. The Lord wants to be found. He's waiting for us simply to seek him and find him. But if we do know him and we are here to worship him today, and you want to know that joy that overwhelms the soul, that kind of joy that the Magi experienced when they saw the baby Jesus, then I invite us to seek him and honor him with all of our lives, to open our gift of ourselves and offer that to him. And we will begin to experience that joy that overwhelms the soul, the joy of our Savior, Messiah, who has come, God with us, Emmanuel. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Jesus, Messiah. Let us bow down and worship him.